you don't usually hear language like that from a federal district court judge, especially directed to the Department of Justice.
Yeah, Judge Emmett G. Sullivan, speaking in slow and deliberate manner, said basically, I have never seen anything like this.
The worst he's seen in 25 years on the bench. And I will tell you, you know, I think a lot of lawyers who deal the other side of the Justice Department have a great respect for many, many of their lawyers, but more frequently run into difficulties than they used to. And I think this is the frustration that Judge Sullivan talked about.
So, Bill, what is, I mean, the question we don't really know is why? Why did they feel they needed to do this or withhold this evidence? It's almost a crime of omission. What was their motivation?
The Supreme Court's made it very clear. It's been a law for many decades that prosecutors, state, local, and federal have an obligation to criminal defendants to give their lawyers exculpatory evidence or evidence that might tend to prove their innocence. And, of course, prosecutors don't want to do this because they want to win the case. And I think what's happened over the last, 10, 15, 20 years is that, you know, we've had a strong movement in this country to anti-crime, put more people in jail, get more people convicted. The Supreme Court has said things like it's okay for police officers to lie to criminal defendants, and I think gradually more and more an attitude has crept in of tough, vigorous prosecution. And I think where you draw that line, is it exculpatory or not exculpatory, has been harder for some prosecutors to see.
So in the case of these six that made up evidence in some cases or just withheld it, and apparently from what we're hearing anecdotally from the FBI agent, I guess, who ratted them out, if I can use that term, but, you know, I mean it lovingly, you know, he says they all talked about it as though they were discussing it internally.
Well, sure, they understood that that there was a debate about whether this evidence was exculpatory. Here's what might have happened, and I really don't know. I wasn't in the room, but as I read over, April 2008 notes about the conversation with Bill Allen, as the witness against Senator Stevens, supposedly he did not remember this CYA memo. The CYA memo, of course, was a very important part of the prosecution's case that Senator Stevens really never did want a bill, that it was really wink, wink, you know, I don't want a bill, this is a gift, and I'm going to do you favors, that sort of thing. And that was the theory. And in April 2008, they have notes where he said he didn't remember. Not only that, the $250,000 value of the house that he testified at the trial, he said in April of 2008 that it was only $80,000. And I think what may very well have happened, and again, I wasn't in the room and I can't attribute motives to them, but they may very well have thought that Mr. Allen was lying to them about not remembering and about the value. And that later when they got the truth, why should they tell the defense attorneys about the lie? Well, the defense attorneys and the jury, and certainly if I were on a jury, I'd want to know that this guy had been equivocal and back and forth. And you know, if he can convince me with an explanation of I really didn't want to rat out my friend Senator Stevens, and that's why I wasn't being forthcoming with the prosecutors, and if I believe him, his later testimony, then fine. But if you feel uncomfortable, this guy's just not an honest person, you're probably going to discredit his testimony. So it really was presenting not the full information to the jury so that they could make a fair decision.
So it sounds like they could also even face the charge of conspiracy to obstruct justice.
Oh, I think there's a lot of things they could face. You know, the judge has the criminal contempt proceeding where he's appointed a special prosecutor to look into that, and that's very serious. And then, of course, they have the Office of Professional Responsibility, which has the ethics issues, and a new head of that office who's very well respected. And then they, who's to say whether there's some further criminal investigation?
And
I don't know whether they're guilty or not. I don't know all the details, but. You know, it's obviously a very serious matter.
I was going to wonder, suppose they could be facing a prison term, possibly. And if they do, what happens when a prosecutor goes to prison?
Well, it doesn't happen very often, but it does happen occasionally. And Judge Sullivan could send them to jail. And I would think that, you know, you have to deal at the Bureau of Prisons. Deal with that. It's probably not unlike a police officer going to jail, which sometimes happens as well.
We're talking this morning to Bill Bransford with the law firm of Shaw, Bransford, Vayu & Roth, one of the co-hosts of Fed Talk, which airs Friday mornings at 11 here on Federal News Radio. All right, now let's just go back to the Justice Department for a minute and say, you know, these six involved in this case, whatever their motivation was, what do you think will happen now within the Justice Department to get the message out that this is not the kind of law we want to practice here at the Justice Department?
Well, from my personal experiences and observations, the Office of Professional Responsibility has, over the years, had a very good reputation, I think, for thoroughness, for fairness, but it's also been fairly slow. And it hasn't, you know, you really don't know. There's an absence of transparency. You really don't know how much prosecutorial misconduct they excuse. I think you're going to see more rapid investigations. I think you're going to see them be more transparent. I think you're going to see less tolerance for judgment calls, like what may have happened here, and the judgment may have. You know, the best case for these six attorneys is they exercised some very poor judgment, but that it wasn't criminal in the nature of criminal contempt or obstruction of justice, just very poor judgment. They made a really bad call about what that evidence meant. That's their best case. And I think you're going to see them. I think you're going to see them press disciplinary action for more cases like that and more referrals to state bar licensing authorities. Because if you don't have a bar license as a lawyer, you cannot practice law even for the government.
Yeah, so at the least, then, they could lose that ability to practice law.
And again, I don't know whether they did. I really don't know whether it rises to that level. Certainly the media is making it look like it does, and Judge Sullivan's statements that give that indication, but they do have the right to defend themselves and explain, and I have every confidence that Attorney General Holder has taken steps to put processes in place that will lead us to the truth, and I'm sure Judge Sullivan will also do that through his inquiry.
Well, it's really shocking, I have to say, and you know what the judge did say to Senator Stevens was, you know, we are sorry. And Senator Stevens, I think, really kept his tongue in his cheek and didn't really say, hey, look, the damage that was done can never be undone. I lost an election in all probability because of this case. And now it turns out at the end of the day, the federal government was slamming me, lying and withholding evidence. So where do I go in that famous line? Where do I go to get my reputation back? He didn't say it, but that's what all of us were thinking on his behalf.
He doesn't have a Senate seat, but I think his reputation is in the eyes of the public, is largely restored.
You think?
I think, and that's what, you know, some commentaries I've read. He certainly has things he could do now, actions he could take to seek further recognition for the fact that he didn't do anything wrong. But a lot of people think that just taking this action has cleared his name, and it's as if he was never convicted, never charged. So some think that should be enough. But he may not. Senator Stevens may not think that. And you know, he can go after his attorney's fees. You know, one person I talked to even mentioned the possibility of a civil suit against the prosecutors, although the legal standards for doing that are very, very difficult. It would be very tough for him to succeed on that. Not impossible, though.
Well, Bill, this has got to be a fascinating case for you, although not a happy outcome, probably just fascinating just in terms of the legal field. You must all be talking about
it. It's very interesting to see this. Prosecutors just don't usually get in trouble like this.